Daddy was a damn prairie dog lawyer that was a conductor, a fireman on a damn railroad. And he went to night school. And he became a lawyer that went in and won his cases. He knew so much about people and juries that he had a night school license, but a day school head. And he just won all of his cases, and that's where Fulbright, Crooker, Bates, Jaworski came from.
I know, Bobby.
Oh, yeah, you were. Weren't you mixed up with the old man? Yes, that's right. He's retired now. He's 80-some-odd.
Yeah, I get letters from him once in a while. I write them back. Oh,
well, you consider the old man built the fifth largest firm in the United States. Now, of course, he didn't do it all by himself, but he was principal on it. They control that Anderson Foundation. They control all those banks. And this Johnny went in there, and he just, God, he burned it up, too. And now he doesn't give a damn about that money in that firm. He's up here, and he does anything I want him to do. And he will just absolutely clean out the garbage cans. But he'll do it with great dignity, with great methods. He'll mark it down, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and put a check on each can. And he'll say, now this is what I'm going to prove. And then he'll announce, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. And they say, now this is what I have proved.
Yeah.
And I get so damn bored with it, both of them. I just like to let him assume that I got it when he proved it. Well, his text goes, man, not a lawyer, he can't be considered. I've got to find some more people, though.
Well, when you eliminate the
Homer is 60, Clifford is past 60, Fowler I guess is not. I don't know what Fowler is, I got to look up his age. I imagine he's in the 55 group, isn't he?
Well, no, I would think he's about 60, but I really think that's about the right age, I really do. I'm not sure that I'm in favor of the general.
I don't want him to stay there a while.
Well, it's getting pretty difficult.
Now, you're not going to ever talk to anybody. I just want your judgment, your evaluation. Now, I know you won't agree with this in the morning. But if you were in my place and you had to do something in a minute, you couldn't think any more than what you know about their record and their background. And each one of them's got problems. Vance has got serious health, more serious money, which his wife wants, why he had to go back. But very serious health, but he can't button his shoes now. And you don't know what that leads to, paralysis with another operation or what. Clifford, who shows his age more than any man I know of at 60, just shows it in his talking. Ramsey, who is young and liberal, and I think gives me a serious political problem for the court, because I don't know, I might not get him confirmed, and I might not get the Chief Justice. I sure won't get him. I've got to have somebody can carry the moderate and the Republican a little bit, just to have a little appeal to them, just for old time's sake or something. Fowler, he could do that without any trouble. Thornberry has some disadvantages, I think. In fact, he's a congressman, city councilman, a state legislature. I think it'd be awfully good on the court, and knowing every department of this government, But from the standpoint of the liberal press that just will not give me a fair trial, hell, I'd be nominated by acclamation on my record for civil liberties and civil rights. But the Times and the Post are against me because they're just anti-Semitic, by God. They're anti-South. They just, because I live in Texas, I don't have style. And that's the only damn thing they got against me. I've done their, I've adopted their platform. And but Kay let Ben Bradley get her off, and she wrecked me. This goddamn New York Times, it never was. They just couldn't stand me. I told Rest in the first week I was president, well, you all are right, you just never can take a Texan. I know it, and it's just, I got to get my mandate, get it over with damn quick, get my program, because it won't run over 9 months. And it will run much longer. But that's, Homer's got to bear all that, having been a politician from the South. Now, he was never a wheeler dealer or a manipulator that I'm supposed to be, because he was quiet and unassuming and regarded as the one Southerner that they could always depend on, and they, all the liberals liked him, the liberals in the Congress. Wild men, Mark Antonio's, and he was the one that would always protect him from old man Rayburn. When he'd get ready to eat him up, he would go and talk him out of it. And he was on the Rules Committee, and he's always the swing man, and he always brought out the administration votes. I mean, the Kennedy votes. He was there during Kennedy's period, and Rayburn's period during Eisenhower. But I think that had hurt him. Texas and the particularly legislative background, being a politician, I think the lawyers might raise some hell about it. Fowler, I don't know what they, I don't believe they can find much wrong with Fowler. I've been trying to think of it. I haven't mentioned Fowler to anybody but one of my staff. I asked him what he thought. He said he, goddamn, I'd hate to have to listen to him argue the other side. The only thing anybody's got against Fowler, they all think he's got a good mind, that he's a good liberal, that he's really conscientious, he helps us with aid and everything else. He has not lost an international conference. He has rewritten things 2 or 3 times. He brought through his paper money day before yesterday, his export-import money yesterday, his tax bill last night. He just does everything. He comes through fine. He runs one of the tightest departments in the government. He's as logical as Clark Clifford, 1, 2, 3, but he's awfully boring listening to him. Huh?
He'll drive Bill Douglas off the court.
Well, that might be
Bill likes him, but he's just so damn tedious.
Well, he is. He's tedious and methodical. I'll tell you what he does, though, this. If you give him 10 minutes, he quits in 9.5. I have never seen him run over what you tell him. That's right. But the way he says it, there's something about it. It's not, he has no intonation, no inflections, no goddammit.
Yeah, that's right.
I ate lunch with Andre Meyer today, and he said he is the most patient Secretary of Treasury I have ever known, and the best.
You really
did? Yes. Oh, yes, sir. Just said that I, God, he just thinks he's superb. But they told me that about Dylan. Bob Kerr looked at him one time after he had lunch with him down at Kennedy's at Palm Beach before he was named, and got back into Kerr, and I said, Bob, what's your impression? He said, well, I have looked at a lot of women in my lifetime and just wondered how I'd like to see them every morning across the breakfast table. He said, I haven't looked at many secretaries of treasury, but by God, I looked at one and thought about how horrible it would be to have to listen to him across a cat table. He thought that Dylan was the most boring man he ever heard, the most unimaginative and dullest, stupidest. But by God, they turned out to be great friends. Dylan would do anything Kerr told him. And Kerr carried all the bills past him. They just never did pay attention to any bird talk. Well, I know you've got to go, and I just got to get some more. How are you going to rate these people, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5? From the standpoint of my practical problem and what I may want to do here on all the other things. I've got geography, I've got the Senate, I've got these philosophies, I've got to have sure votes. I want a little continuity, I want a little age on there. How old are you?
Well, before yesterday, I was 58.
I thought you were younger than
that.
You look younger. You look about, I would have thought you were 55, and I think you look 50. 48. I think you got a young genius about you that age and maturity hadn't shown up yet. Maybe your damn size. Maybe you young, sleek fellas that don't get fat. They tell me fat people look old.
Because I've got a young wife that can swim out in this pool the first day. I can play my fiddle once.
Now, look at this not from your standpoint.
Well,
look at it from my standpoint of the knowing me as you know me and what I want. I want somebody that will always be proud of his vote. That's the first thing. I may not be proud of his opinion, but I want to be proud of the side he was on. He may not be as eloquent as Hugo Black or you or somebody, but I want to be damn sure he votes right. That's the first thing. That's right.
Well, little that I know about it, I was raised normally before. If you had to put it in terms of yourself, as to what I thought ought to be done, theoretically, I think theoretically abstract, it wouldn't support this fellow Fortas.
Meyer says I've just got to find peace and I can find it the next month. Imaginative enough. He thinks I'll do something real daring quietly.
Who says that?
Meyer, Andre Meyer. He says that these people are talking a little privately in Paris. They are. They made two passes the last 2 days in Vietnam. Vietnam, yeah. We don't know if they're frauds or not. But he didn't say what to do, but what he's thinking is I'll take somebody like Goldberg and figure out some goddamn way to crash this gate and say, now listen, that's what you killing each other. Let's just get out and debate each other. We don't have an election in the South. Both of them pull out and one or take all. And we'll rebuild your goddamn country and rebuild the South too. And this $30 billion we'll put in an aid, we'll put 20 of it in. Rebuild this country. And we have got 25, 30 million people. And if we put 20 billion a year for a couple of years, well, you'll have it. And you don't want to go to Russia, you don't want to go to China, you don't want to go to us. We won't have any strings attached. But you just go home and we'll go home and let's get the United Nations, somebody supervised election like we did in the Dominican Republic. And one man, one vote. And
well, you know, Mr. President, I firmly believe that. I firmly believe that